Well, why don't you guys go ahead and have a seat. It's great getting to be with you this morning. It's nice to do things a little different every once in a while. We do have some seats if anybody needs some seats up in here. Otherwise, everybody will just turn around and stare at everybody that's in the back. It is so good to get to have you this morning. And if you are a first-timer for 24, this is a pretty different morning for us, as you probably know of us and maybe being a little loud sometimes and that kind of thing. And truth be known, the series that we're in that we're finishing today called This, we just really felt it to be appropriate to finish this thing out in just kind of an understanding that we get addicted to this, and as we've been talking about and understanding what this is, we get addicted to the things of this world. And sometimes they're material possessions, and we talked one week about how relationships drive our lives, and maybe not in healthy ways all the time. Healthy ways, obviously, a lot of times, because God has called us to connect with other people, and obviously He's called us, especially as men and women, to have great marriages and all those things. But the thing that we hit on last week was kind of even taking that a step further and understanding that we're constantly looking for power. And it's one of those things that I don't think that a lot of us realize, but a lot of times we make decisions based upon thinking, what is this going to get me? What am I going to get out of this? And the thing that we've really just kind of come into understanding over this series is that we are addicted to things of this world, and especially money and the power and those things that are completely unhealthy for us at times when they begin to take over our lives, and that's what we've allowed to happen a lot of times. Well, we're going to get into this morning. Before we do, I just want to even just share a couple of things, because I want us to pray as a church here in just a minute about a couple of things that are going on. And one of those things is, and I don't know if we'll have a whole lot of folks here today, but I feel like we'll have at least a couple. You may be here today, and this is Memorial Day weekend, and I just felt it fitting for us just to take just a quick second and just be able to honor anybody that has worked in any of the branches of the military. If you have ever, or you're active now, been a part of the military, would you mind just standing? We're not trying to embarrass you or anything, but if you would just stand where you're at, we would like so gratefully to honor you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. For the work that you guys have done, we are able to do this. And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of, controversy in the world right now as to what's happening and all this stuff. And, all that aside, I mean, the bottom line is that we do have freedom to worship our God, and we're doing it in a public school. And so that's pretty cool. And only in America could you get away with doing that. And so I think that it's important for us to recognize, especially on this day, that going on. Couple other things I want to just kind of make mention of. eBay store thing, we're kind of waiting on eBay's end, just so everybody knows. We don't have anything out for you yet to fill out, and the reason being is we have registered as 24 Church is going to have a online nonprofit store that you will be able to, number one, either if you're completely computer illiterate and you can't do an eBay auction yourself, then you can give it to us and we'll put it together for you, and that's where we're going to have you filling out stuff. Or any Joe Schmo that wants to could literally make the eBay auction on their own, and all the proceeds go to 24 Church. So it's really a cool thing the way that's all going to work out, and that's coming, and we're waiting on them at this point, just so you know, and we'll let you know when we know something. We'll send out an email. This week, if anybody's interested, this kind of started out for being for leadership, and I'll just be honest with you, it's just open to whoever wants to come. But Thursday night, we're going to have a prayer time in the building at the warehouse. If you don't know where the warehouse is at, then, catch us afterwards and we'll tell you about that. And that's going to be at 7 o'clock. And this Saturday is a pretty big day. We have Jive, and many of you know all about Jive, and they'll be talking about that later in the service. But if you'd like to volunteer, kind of like the biggest thing that happens in Pleasant View now. It's an amazing thing that this little church that didn't exist just a few years ago was a part of being a bigger part of doing something for our community, and that's what that is. And David and them will talk about what that is and how you can get involved with that. Last thing, and this is what I really kind of want us to just kind of get to praying about, is the building deal and the school board. I meant to tell you last weekend, and it's kind of a bomb to drop, but I didn't get to tell you because I forgot, because I'm, whatever. in my thoughts sometimes. And the week before last week, we found out we got a letter from the school board that they are asking us to be out of the school by July the 15th. And kind of a bomb getting dropped on us there. We knew that this day was coming. We've been here a year longer, actually more than a year longer, than what the school board initially said we could stay. And we've just been kind of waiting this thing out and just seeing how long they would let us keep doing this. And obviously we're getting close to getting ready to do something with the building. And just to kind of throw this in with a prayer, we do have a plan B, so don't freak out, and we'll let you know that as that thing unfolds. But just to let you know that kind of what's going on with the building right now is that we are still waiting on the go-ahead. Things had to go back to engineers and architects last week, and I didn't know that when I told you that last weekend that it was in the fire marshal's hands. It was not. It was in architect's hands last week. But my understanding is that they were going to hand deliver the stuff back this past week, and I'm hoping that that happened. And so hopefully we're going to be getting the stamp. But further than that, we've got to do a lot of work on this building. That's no secret to a lot of people. It's a warehouse. And we've got a ton of kids at this church and all these families coming and all this stuff. And so we've got to have places where we can minister to these families and have places for their children and all that good stuff. And so what we're looking at is we were first looking at a two-phase renovation on the building. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I don't mind just crunching a little numbers with you here, and I know this is not my message, and just bear with me if you're not a 24 person, but I know for those of you that are, you're going to want to hear this. Phase one was going to cost us $175,000, and we were not going to have kids' spaces with that. Well, we crunched numbers with our finance team and with the bank, and we've got a great bunch of folks working with us at the bank, and our finance team has just been unbelievable on this whole deal. And we just prayed about it, the staff and finance team, and we just came to the conclusion, you know, for what the payment was, we thought the payment was going to be much higher on the 175 than what it is. For what the payment was, we just said, well, what's the payment for the whole thing? And let's just move toward that, and let's pray for that. And so the whole thing is a $250,000 loan, and that payment we looked at first being an interest-only payment, and then we backed up and said, you know, we had the opportunity to see what it was, you know, where we're actually paying toward the loan. And it's $2,300 a month, just a hair over that, I think, 23 and some change. And we just said, you know what? We got to do that. We don't have a choice. The families that we will reach with having those kids' spaces alone will pick up, and for the folks that are going to be a part of this will understand and see, and we're just praying that God will lay on people's hearts, you know, things like the eBay auction, but just even beyond that, the maintenance that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about some maintenance, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, sweeping the floors and that kind of stuff, and you'll understand that here in the message in a little bit, but the continual giving. And so I want us to just pray about all that today. And we're looking for 25 people that are willing to sign on behalf of the church. And we heard some great stuff. In fact, after the service today, I'm going to ask Nate Carr if he would just to chill with me up here, and we'll just kind of sit off on the side of the stage. And if you want to come up and ask any questions about this, if you're kind of thinking maybe I'd like to be a part of that or whatever, heard some great stuff from the bank this week that included that this is not even going to show up on people's credit that are willing to sign off on behalf of the church. So it's just an incredible thing, and we'd love to share all that stuff with you, and we'll do that later. I want us just to pray. We need to pray about all this and just kind of ask God to just lead us and guide us as a church, and so let's do that here in just the next couple of minutes, okay? God, we just come before you, and we just want you to know, God, that we don't have it figured out, and you know that. And God, we're just coming humbly to you today and saying, God, you got to lead us and you got to guide us and you got to show us what to do and you got to show us where to sign and you got to show us when to move on faith. And God, you have been faithful to us every step of the way. God, I thank you for, Lord, all of the folks that make up this church. God, it's not a building. It never has been. And God, that's why we refer to the building you've given us as a warehouse, because it's not the church, it's a building. And the church is here today, and God, I thank you for the church, and I thank you for allowing us to gather and to worship you. And God, I just pray that you would have your hand on us and show us every step of the way of what you're wanting us to do here. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for everything that you've done for us and for all of this that you've given us. God, may we just be faithful with this in doing what you want us to do with it. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So this morning, we're talking about detox. We've been going through this series and kind of coming to an understanding that we're addicted to money, we're addicted to power, we're addicted to these things that are kind of controlling our lives. And the deal with this stuff is that as long as we are giving into this stuff, we are not being the men and women that God has created us to be, and we're missing something. And for most of us here today, we don't even realize we're missing it because we are so happy with stuff. And some of the key things that'll let you know is if you find yourself driven toward the next thing, what is the next this that I'm going to buy? When is the next time I'm going to get to go on the shopping spree? You know, and I'm just putting myself out here. I'm as guilty as anybody. And I'll just tell you, it's one of those things that we all struggle with. This is one of those things that controls our lives to a point that we miss that. You see, this is our desire, and that is God's desire. God has a desire to see incredible things happen in our lives, but sometimes this gets in the way of it. Well, this morning, the thing that I'm wanting us just to kind of get a handle on and get a grip on is that God Himself has a detox program. It's an amazing thing. It was set up in Scripture and set up a long, long time ago. We see it all through the Old Testament where these folks are, you know, making sacrifices and all this stuff. But there is a way to detox from the stuff. And we're going to check that out today. Well, we've been kind of figuring out over the last few weeks that we're addicted, that we're sick. We have a sickness. And this sickness has just kind of come over us. And you know, I think anytime that you know someone that's addicted to something, and I've dealt with a lot of folks that have had a lot of addictions and been a part of interventions and all that kind of stuff, and when I've seen this and been a part of this, the thing that happens is that when we get addicted and we have this sickness towards something like this, we don't realize it. And if we do realize it, we want to just completely believe, oh, it's not true, that's not really happening to me, I'm not really there. Oh, you know, and for the stuff in particular that we've been talking about in the last few weeks, you know, maybe you're kind of saying to yourself, oh, you know, I'm not giving in to, you know, the whole American way thing. We do this and we do that, and maybe you have some great things going on in your home that you're really kind of putting forth before God and saying, God, I'm not going to follow in this. I'm not going to fall into that trap or whatever. And you know, and praise to you if you're doing that, and give God the glory for what He's going to do in your life because of it. But here's the deal. Truth be known, there's probably not a one of us in here that can really, really say that this morning, that we can really go, you know, I'm not really dealing with any of that. I'm not really addicted to money. I'm not really addicted to wanting power and control and all those things. Because the truth is that we're constantly thinking about it. And it's taken over our minds, and in essence, it's taken over our hearts. And our hearts have become hard because of it. And the hardness of our hearts has turned into something that is a me society. We are all about ourselves. And we are constantly going, man, I got to follow the money. It was a great opportunity there. I got to do that because it's going to, you know, blah, blah. And I'm all, you know, all about taking care of our family. But let me just kind of put this on the table, and let's just let the rest of it lie for us this morning. And this is it. What do you really need for your family? Food, shelter, clothing. We don't want them running around naked. What else? I mean, as far as physical things, I mean, that's really it. That's what we need for our families. And you see, like I said last weekend, we take real needs and we start doubting God about whether He's going to provide in those needs. And we take those needs and we just like, oh, we're going to have enough clothes. I don't know. We better just go ahead and buy some more. Let's just buy some more. And then next thing we know, we're like clothes junkies. Again, guilty here. Just want you to know that. And I'm just putting it on the table because I think for so many of us, we're missing it. And Satan is having his way with us, and he's having just a grand old time. And what's happening because of it is that the church, Christ's bride, is not able to do the things that God is calling it to do. And it's because sometimes we've made poor decisions in the past. And let me just tell you, you may be in here today and you may be able to say, Chris, we've made some poor decisions in the past and I recognize them now. I recognize we did this and we did that and we got all this debt and we shouldn't have done that. And I regret it and I wish I could just wipe it clean. And I'm with you and I understand. And that's cool. And I'm just going to recommend, you know, something here in just a little bit and we'll get to that. But I think that we've got to understand that our sickness is real. And today, the end of this series, the reason we've just kind of saved this for the end, this is the application day. And today, you're going to have to decide for yourself if you are going to take the intervention and you are going to accept rehab. I've got to decide it. We've all got to decide it. We've all got to come to a point in our life where we say, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do with my stuff and begin to understand that everything that we have, not just money, but I mean just all of our stuff, was given to us by Him for us to manage, not have, but to manage and to be able to take it and to throw it back and to use it for His kingdom. This was me 6 months ago, 12 months ago, and I told you just several weeks ago when we brought up the whole eBay store thing and I threw my 67 Mustang into this thing. And that comes from months and months of me just getting before God and me going, God, I got a bunch of junk, and why do I have it? Why are you giving me this stuff, God? What am I supposed to do with it? And me just kind of coming to an understanding that for me personally, it was for me to just give something back. Because I don't need four cars. I love cars, but I don't need four of them. And so for each and every one of us, it's a matter of whether or not you're going to be willing to just get on your knees before God and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to really show me. I'm not going to be driven by the power that I want to hold in a community. I'm not going to be driven by the money that I want to earn. I want you just to lead and guide me and direct me. So what's it going to take for you to get well? Rehab. But here's the beautiful thing. This whole rehab deal is coming at us, and the rehab thing is one of those things that, you know, I think that it sounds good right on the front end. Oh, well, yeah, you know, I want to do what God wants me to do, and it's just like anybody that's got a real addiction in life when it comes to a drug or to alcohol or something else. And what happens is when they go to rehab, they begin to do what? They withdraw. And I'm just going to tell you, anytime, and most of you know this, but it is so good to teach this and so good for us to hear this, is that anytime that we begin to do something God wants us to do, what's going to happen? Satan is going to attack. And he's coming on, and he's full force, and he's got his military, and they're working on us day and night, and they know our weaknesses. And he knows what's going to get us. But the thing that we've got to decide is that when withdrawal begins to happen, when the emotional begins to happen, when the physical begins to happen in those times, that we don't fall for it. That we say, you know what, God, I'm with you and I'm going to maintain with you. I'm going to continue to grow in you and I want you to be steadfast in me. Give me a steadfast spirit. And I'll just tell you, this is a prayer that you may just have to pray this morning. If you're sitting here this morning, you're going, oh, he's kind of talking about money and I'm going to, you know, buck up or whatever. I'm just pray this prayer. You know, maybe just under your breath right now, just kind of get before God in your own mind and just close your eyes or whatever you got to do. But just, you may just need to say, God, give me a pure heart this morning, God, to hear this message, to hear this word of the Lord. Give me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And I'm just telling you, that's a prayer that I have to pray daily. That I'm constantly going, God, don't let me be bitter. Don't let me be mad at that person. God, I want to have a pure heart and I want to do what you want me to do. And a steadfast spirit is what's going to get me through the maintenance and the growing in you. So this morning we're going to talk about withdrawing. And before we do that, and just, you know, I've given you kind of this prayer to pray. Nathan's going to come. And as he's coming and he's going to be leading us in something, I just want you to just kind of take that and just kind of put that in your heart and just, God, give me a pure heart. renew a steadfast spirit within me and just really get before the Lord and say, God, this is the stuff you've given me, whatever it is, and just ask God, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And I just want you to hear me on this. I just want you to understand this is not the pastor standing up here and saying, hey, give everything to the church. Because as you'll see here in just a little while, that's not our concern today. My concern is not the building that's over there today. I'm really not concerned about it. I have been, and I've been guilty of that, and I've just had to look at God and go, God, I'm sorry. Because God, that's not what you want. This is the church right here. I'm not talking about the school building. So this morning, I want us just to just kind of just get before the Lord as Nathan's leading us. And you know, maybe we just kind of stand and just kind of bow our heads for a moment as he just kind of sings over us and then begins to lead us. I think that would just be a healthy thing for us to do, is just to get before God and just spend a minute here with him and just hearing what he has to say to us right now. You have a seat. I used to be afraid of talking about money. Going from youth ministry to starting a church was one of those things. I taught about tithing to teenagers, but it wasn't really like I was really stepping on anybody's toes, because it was like, you know, oh, we got a $20 a week allowance or whatever, versus real life. And I was afraid of talking about money until last year. And many of you have heard me talk about the story of how I was sitting with a friend, and he began to ask me questions because I had not talked about money the entire time we had started the church up and through like February of last year. And he's sitting there and he's going, hey, you know, talk to me about tithing and explain that to me. And so I began to share with him this passage of scripture in Malachi chapter 3. And in Malachi 3, we see an amazing thing happening, something that only happens one time in all of scripture. And in Malachi 3, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring, and this is a big word here, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Only time in Scripture God says this, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And in that passage of Scripture, God says, I dare you. And I don't know about you, but that speaks to me. And last year when I began to teach about what it meant to give and what it meant to be a part of tithing, and tithing is 10%, if you didn't know that, of whatever it is that God has given you, and I don't think that's just a money thing, because it doesn't say it that way. It says tithes and offerings. I think that's a great place for us to start, by the way. If you're not a part of giving at all, tithing is a great place to start. But I'll tell you the same thing that I told the crowd last year, is that I dare you. Because, see, God is daring us. You know, we can say that. I dare you to test God for, say, like 2 months with your finances. And you, I know if you're like us, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, we have every penny accounted for. I would look real hard at what it's accounted for. Because, again, we have wanted to westernize the Bible and make it say something that it doesn't, that we're all supposed to be rich and living, you know, like kings and all this stuff, and God wants to take care of us, and sometimes, yes, he does bless us in those ways. But that's not his intent. His intent is for us to take what we've managed and give it back in ways that are blessings to the kingdom of God. I got to tell you something I saw last night on TV. Last night I was watching this show on TV, maybe you've seen it, and it's this show about lottery winners. And it's like, you know, kind of tracking what's happened to them after they won the lottery. There was this couple, I think they were in California, and they won, you know, like the, I don't know, like the $47 million, you know, I think it was a $27 million jackpot. You know, and they were just freaking out, you know, and so they win the lottery, and you know, she had already started this cause, and the cause was actually seen to it that infants that had been disposed of, that had just been left places to die and that kind of thing, that they had proper burials. And, you know, she had gotten someone to give land, and they had, you know, made this cemetery that's just for infants, for all these infants. And so, you know, and so when they won this money, you know, they actually were pretty good with the money. They took, like, the lump sum, you know, the 9.9, and then, you know, I think it was like 14, but then after the tax, it was like 9.9 or something. So they got like $9.9 million still left to play with. And somewhere in there, they're still doing all this charity work. In fact, they're, you know, going even further and using a lot of that money to fight for the rights of infants and all of this stuff. And, you know, they're talking about all this stuff, and I'm thinking, man, what a great example of somebody taking something that was God's, and then doing something great that really could be a blessing in his kingdom. And then, like, the kicker of the whole thing was that you could tell they didn't even know Jesus as their Savior. And I'm just sitting there thinking, and I'm like, man, those should be the fights for our church. Those should be the things that we are doing. Those should be the things that we're after. And what has happened is that we as Christians have westernized Scripture into believing that we're supposed to be rich and living in a mansion or something, to the point that we've gotten to this thing in life that we're just like, well, you know what, I'm just taking care of myself and everything else is good. And so the rest of the world is picking up the tab on the things that God has called us to do. That the orphans and the widows and the poor and the needy are having to get taken care of by our government. That's not right. And you see, what God is saying here is that if we will bring the tithe, if we will test him in doing this, if we'll bring the tithe into the storehouse, and I just got to tell you, I don't know any storehouse except the church. And you may be a part of giving us something that's good, and I want to encourage you, you know, if it's a thing that's blessing for the kingdom, then be a part of that. Don't quit that, but do not shortchange and rob God, as he's saying in this passage of Scripture. Last year when I taught through this, this is where my fear of the whole talking about money thing went away. When I got done teaching that series last year, I had so many people come to me and just thank me. And sometimes it was like months later. It was so great because, you know, some people took the dare, and then out of the dare, they began to tithe where their family had not done that, and, you know, that was their starting point or whatever of giving back to the kingdom of God. And then God began to bless them and take care of them, and he was like paying the bills, and they couldn't figure it out. And this has happened in our life, and it's just an amazing thing. And so that's why I just so openly talk about it now. But at the same time, I want you to hear me say this. I am never interested in our church getting your money. I am interested in us as the body of believers being obedient to Scripture. And I think that's the bigger part of this. But what happens out of our obedience is that God takes those things and he does huge things with them. I mean, huge stuff. Stuff that we just never even knew was coming. You see, withdrawal is tough. And along with this, we're thinking about all the stuff that we've got to pay for, and I'm with you. And like I said earlier, maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you've got all this debt mounted up, and you're just going, I don't even know how we're going to get past that. And I just want to encourage you to do something. At some point in life, you've got to detox. You've got to go to rehab. Today's the intervention if you haven't gotten that. Today's the day. I'm kind of standing before you. Don't be like, you know, sitting on the mountaintop sometime and going, okay, God, I'm waiting for a sign. This is your sign. Here's your sign, okay? Today is it. I'm standing before you on behalf of God and his Scripture and saying, you can do this. You can turn that thing around. And it may take a long time, but that's okay. You just be faithful with it. And it may mean going without some things for a while. It may mean not having, you know, like us, 15 cars in the driveway and all this stuff. And you just go, you know, okay God, I get it. I got too much stuff. Or whatever. A book that I recommend, and he's as obnoxious as they come, but I will say this about him. He's a believer, and he pushes tithing like crazy. Book that many of you probably already know about is a book called Financial Peace. And you don't have to follow every single guideline in it or whatever, but I'm just telling you, overall, it's a plan to get yourself out of debt. And I think God, you know, has given, what's his name, Dave Ramsey. Thank you. I knew everybody would know. God has given Dave Ramsey just an incredible insight and through experience, what he's experienced, to be able to bless other people and share that knowledge. And, of course, he's a money-making machine now, but we won't get into that. Withdrawal is tough. And I think for us today to sit here and look at this passage of Scripture and say, well, it says give a tithe and that's 10% and we're going to do that. We're going to start there. And I just wanted to tell you today that is a great place to start. And that day when I was sitting in that guy's office, this good friend of mine, he was asking me about tithing. He was asking questions like, you just give it like the end of the check? You know, how does this work? And even Dave Ramsey will tell you, you give it on the top. Because we see all through Old Testament, we see all the time God calling us to give him our best. Our first fruits is what he called it. And what that meant was our very best. And I'll just be honest with you, I think that that means the very first, before the government, before whoever. And a lot of people, you know, may want to, you know, challenge me on that, but I'm just telling you what Old Testament says. And then I just want to go a step further with saying that I think tithing is a beginning start. And I think it's a place where we begin to give, because what happens is when you begin to give, you have joy that comes out of that just fills you, and you're going to want to do more. You're not going to be satisfied with oh, you know, we're doing this. No. You're going to want to do more. And I think that's where we see Christ all the time, not just sometimes. And every time when Christ is being asked, what should I do? What should I give? How should I handle my life? And Christ just looks at everybody one by one and he says what? Give me your all. And that's a challenging statement for us today, and it challenges me where I'm at. Because it means that I've got to start looking at everything that God's given me to manage and just go, I don't know if I want to give you my all. And I'm just being honest with you in that, and I'm just saying that's a struggle and still in my heart. That I've gotten to this point, but I'm still struggling with it. And I think it's probably one of those things that we're going to struggle with till the day that we die, but in the midst of that, God asks us to test him in this. In Matthew chapter 6, we see Christ again. In chapter 6, Christ says this, be careful not to do the act, to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites. Do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, you have received their reward in full. But when you, listen to this, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that when giving, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And what Christ is saying there here is this. Give, number one. But more importantly, only do it if your heart is right. Because I'm just telling you, God doesn't want it if your heart's not right. We have to get to a place where personally we are saying, God, this is yours, and I want you to use it, and I want you to do a huge thing with it. And in the midst of all this, we've got to understand that this whole, like, not letting the left hand see what the right hand is doing, what Christ is saying right there is this. He is saying, do not do something to get something in return. One of the greatest things that's happening in our church right now is that some of our home teams are beginning to understand this, and they are actually going out into our community and doing things that have no implication of having something in return. One of our home teams is about to go paint the car wash that's down here in Pleasant View that sits on the side of the road that's so nasty looking. Just to do it. Just because it's an eyesore, and it'd be nice to do for the community. But you know what we're not doing? We're not sticking 24church.com on the side of it. We're just doing it. And we're not advertising it. We're not going to call the exchange and be like, hey, come and see what nice thing we did. You know, we're not doing that junk. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is to do because God has called us to do, and it's up to us to begin to look for real needs in our community. That's a small thing. And I'll be honest with you, that the home team decided to do that because it was attainable. And it was like, let's get our feet wet, let's accomplish something, it's attainable. So that excitement can carry us to do larger things that have an impact on the kingdom of God. It's an amazing thing. Detox hurts. And truth be known, we don't really want to trade this for that most of the time. Because this is so good and we love it so much. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of what God may have for us. We want to doubt and ask questions and go, what if God doesn't provide in this way? And I'm just telling you today, He does. Time and time and time and time again. And I'll just be honest with you, I've not always been faithful in my giving. But when I have been faithful to the Lord, He has always been faithful to me and my family, and it's just an amazing thing. So I dare you to be a part of that. Today, we're going to bring the tithe. We're going to do something a little different. We do this a couple times a year, and I'll be honest with you, we do it because of this passage of Scripture. We don't do it because of anything else. And in fact, in this time here in just a second, you don't have to yet, but what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you in just a second to bow your heads and close your eyes because I don't want you looking around. I don't want you getting up in front of people to bring the tithe to, you know, have other people see you just as Jesus just taught us. But I think sometimes that doing this act of bringing the tithe is something for us just to remember that it's something that God has called us to do, to bring this back to Him, to give it back to Him. And you see what happens. The reason that this passage is all about the detox, the reason this passage is putting us in rehab is because God knew from the beginning that we would be tempted to keep it all. And He knew that if we did, that our lives would become about this and the stuff and the power and all that junk. And He knew. And so He set it up where He'd give it to us. And we'd turn around and we would give some back. Giving back is the withdrawal. And I just got to tell you, I need it in my life, and it's so evident in how much I want stuff and I desire stuff and I desire this. It's a tough thing to do, to trust completely in the Lord. But He dares us to do it. And truth is if we'll trade this for that, He's going to bless us. Let me pray for us right now and kind of begin this time for us. God, I thank You so much for Your word and just how honest and open it is. And God, this morning, I know that somebody's going to take this out of here and go, well, the preacher just wants our money. God, I just pray, Lord, that You would just place on their heart right now, God, that is not even close to the truth. I don't want anybody's money. God, I just want us to be obedient to who You've called us to be. I love You, Lord, and I thank You for the opportunity that we have to teach Your word this morning. And God, as we've come here as Your church on this Memorial Day weekend, God, I pray, Lord, that we could give You praise and how we give back to You, that our hearts would be right, that, God, we would pray over our giving. God, that instead of just dropping it in, and even if our hearts are right, that God, we would just say, God, would You take this and would You do just amazing things with this amount of money? It may not be much, but God, it's what I've got. It's my tithe or it's my offering. And God, just take it and multiply it in ways that only You could do and bless it. God, that is our prayer. God, we love You. We thank You for allowing us to come and to worship You this morning. In Your name I pray. Amen. Before we have the bringing of the tithe, I just want to say this one quick thing. You may be here this morning, and you may not be a Christian. Maybe you've been out of church. Maybe you grew up in church, and you're stumbling around, and you just don't have a clue of what's going on and what it means to know Christ. Maybe you did the motion thing, and you went down an aisle one time, and you got wet and all this stuff, but you are empty and dry as a bucket in the middle of the desert. I want you to know something. I would love to talk with you this morning about what it means to know Christ. I would love to pray with you this morning. After the service, you are more than welcome to come hunt me down up here. I will leave the finance meeting for you, okay? So please, just come and hang out. We'd love to get to talk with you and pray with you about that. Now, we're going to bring the tithe, and this is how we're going to do it. We're just going to have everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, not interested in people knowing who's coming. You know, you're going to see people when you're walking up here or whatever. Just forget it. Look at the floor when you're walking if you got to, okay? But we're going to bring the tithe this morning because that's what God's called us to do. So this morning, just bring it. Bring it on.